Blog Talk Hello. Radio.
Up my lungs, a nigga be blowing, spitting this game. Coming up on you from the south, the ATLians ain't changed. Cooler than most players claim to be. A nigga that's from the A-Town, see the home of the bank headbound. Kevin Terrell, then other city streets, enough of the morality. Fallacy, but it be speeding up fiction. Keeping up pulling your guts, licking the Jerry Curls, you bitches. Every time I rhyme for y'all, I'm looking to prove a point. Kicking the freestyle every now and then, but mostly after joint. See how I smoke good, cause see it go good with them flows. Why? The nigga that B.I.G. like Tony Rich, nobody knows why. But me and my folks, cause y'all niggas joke just like the Joker. I'm sick of these whack ass rappers, like I'm tired of holding.
Who them boys that be having a crunk every occasion? This side niggas dust and that side niggas lacing. But in the middle we stay calm, we just drop on. Asking where we come from, so I'm pro strong.
Just two dope boys in a Cadillac. It's just two dope boys in a Cadillac.
This old sucker MC stepped up to me. Challenged Andre to a battle, and I stood there patiently as he spit and stumbled over cliches, so-called freestyling. Whole purpose just to make me feel look. I guess you wild, and I say look why. I ain't for that fuck shit. So fuck this, let me explain on the child style so you don't miss. I grew up to myself, not round no park bench. Just a nigga bustin' flows off in the apartment. Now who them boys that be having to crunk every occasion? This side niggas dust and that side niggas lacing. But in the middle we stay calm, we just drop bombs. Asking what.
Hello. And welcome to another Doom Radio NFL overview, NFL talk, just talking NFL, however you want to explain it. We love the NFL. We're going to talk some NFL. I know it's only May. We still got, about 5 more months till the season starts, And we got short distance. For, you know, more training camps and more everything. So, let's talk NFL. Last week we covered the NFC West, which was, seems like it's going to be good, and exciting, I would say. Look forward to it, just see their games. But now we're going to stay on the West Coast, or at least the West. I won't say their team's not on the West Coast. But we're going to talk the AFC West now. And I am looking through. I'm going to do like I did last week. Start with the division winner, which was Denver. And with that, we... trying to figure out. So it looks like the AFC West is in the same boat as the NFC West, where they will be playing both the AFC North and the NFC North. And that's quite interesting, because for the AFC last year, you know, the teams that got bumped out by the AFC North pretty much were the AFC West. And that would be, I believe, if I can remember right, the Chargers lost their last game, and that, like, snuck in either the Steelers or, drawing a blank here, guys, definitely, or the Ravens. Those two definitely got in, I think, because of a Charger loss. And if I can remember the season, right, I might be wrong. I should have researched that before I got in here, but I didn't. So blame me later, make fun of me later. But just got a lot of things going on right now. But so both playing North. Denver won the division last year. They won it, I guess they pulled away at the end. You know, obviously mid-season, everybody still has chances of, like, getting wins and people going to lose streak. That, you know, so I won't say they won it easily. I want to say the Chiefs kind of took a nosedive at some point in the season and made their life harder for themselves. And Chargers are just Chargers, man. I feel like they've been struggling going into late the season. But anywho, let's start with the Broncos. They actually open up at home against the Ravens. So two playoff teams going at it. And just by the looks of it, man, I can tell you this. The Broncos don't have it easy at all. I mean, the only thing I can say they have easy, and just because they've been terrible for so long, is that they get to play the Raiders twice. Outside of that, I mean, like I said last week, the Bears, we just don't know. But they're playing nothing but playoff teams and playoff contenders. So let's just start. I'm going to start off. They have bye week 7. So we're just going to say the first 6 weeks will be rough for the Broncos. Because, A, they start off against the Ravens. And, the Ravens just aren't easy teams. They've been very competitive. Since John Harbaugh got there, they were competitive before that. And so that's, just don't know. It's the first game of the season, too, so could definitely sway either way. Right off the gate, that's terrible. Their next game is to travel to Arrowhead to play the Chiefs. Not your ideal situation. You know, first you got, you know, the Ravens, then you got to go to Arrowhead. Chiefs are tough, very, very tough. Chiefs really need to work on their passing game because I believe maybe one receiver touchdown last year, if that. Terrible. They gotta open that up. But still, tough team. They play people hard. Defense is solid. Andy Reid's there. He's doing his thing. Tough game to go to Arrowhead early in the year. Then they do have to travel after Arrowhead to Detroit, where, once again, they're a transitioning team. In my eyes, due to the fact they lost Sue. Pretty sure they lost Reggie Bush. Offense is always potent. I mean, you know, they got Calvin, Golden Tate, and hopefully Ebron's, like, healthy all year. And, you know, they got this first-round tight end that really was quiet last year. Maybe this is his year to blow up. So, on that note, it's just that transition team-wise, but still, they were a playoff team last year. Still can be very tough. It's an away game. It's the second one right after the Chiefs. So I just still consider that kind of tough right off the, you know, this beginning of the season. Then they host the Vikings. Vikings, we don't know. I mean, is Adrian Peterson still going to be there? Their identity. They played people tough last year, then they blew some games. And when I say blow, I mean, like, got blown out. It's kind of, they're a very up-and-down team. Teddy Bridgewater, though, I'd have to say, did look pretty. I liked his look last year, and Vikings are going to Denver, so definitely in Denver's favor. But then they go to Oakland, the Black Hole, to play the Raiders week 5. Like I said, most likely the weakest team on their schedule, if not the Bears, depending on how the Bears transition. But, I mean, Oakland just hasn't been a great team. I mean, haven't done well. I mean, they got Cooper in the draft. I just don't know. If, you know, if for some reason the Raiders are doing good, it's a tough game to go to Oakland. But if not, yeah, you know, it's the Raiders. Then they go to Cleveland to play the Browns, which most likely is going to be a tough game. Browns, I think the Browns are going to be, you know, they were good last year. I think they're going to be good this year. And so basically the first six games of the Broncos, they have only two home games and four away games. Kind of rough start. Let's see, three of those teams were in the playoffs. Browns were kind of right outside the playoffs. You know, Vikings and Raiders. Raiders were just nowhere near the playoffs. And Vikings, I think they still had a shot, like, close to, like, the early half of midseason. And then they pretty much, you knew they weren't a playoff team later. So they go into the bye week. Then they come out and they host the Packers. I have to say this. The second half of the Denver's schedule is hectic. And it's hectic because week 8, Packers, at least at Denver, granted, division winner, right? Then they go to Indianapolis to play the Colts. Once again, division winner on the road. Then they host the Chiefs, playoff contender, division game, host it, but still tough after you play the Packers and the Colts. And, I mean, we still know the Chiefs are going to be, I know they're going to be good. They should be a good team. And three tough games in a row. And then they travel to Chicago, where, like I said, transition team, new coach, new staff, shaking up the receivers a bit. Defense is aging. Some rookies are taking in some places. Our younger guys are taking over. Don't know. See how John Fox does it. Could be a tough game. If they still don't know where they're at in week 11, meaning the Bears don't know where they're at, just at this point, it's almost a break. I hate to say it for the Bears like that. It's kind of rude to call a team a break. But after you play the Packers, Colts, Chiefs, if the Bears suck, it's a break. Because then they got to host the Patriots week 12. Sunday night game, primetime game, week 12, major playoff push, most likely as the last two seasons. This can decide number 1-2 tiebreaker for the conference, first seeding in the playoffs. You know, they're right back into that playoff contender rush. Then they travel to the Chargers. I mean, I don't think the Chargers are going to be weak. Two tough games once again, back-to-back. Then they host the Raiders. It's the Raiders. Once again, no disrespect, just like the Bears. But after you play the Patriots, Chargers, it's going to be tough. The Raiders will be tough just because they're probably tired at this point. But it's almost like a break. But then they end their season rough. Rough because of the teams, but one good side to it. So their last four games are three of them. They got the Raiders at home, the Bengals, the Chargers. And after the Raiders, week 15, they do have to travel to Pittsburgh to play Steelers. Most likely a, once again, game that's deciding seeding in the NFL playoffs. Both teams most likely fighting for a playoff spot. Playoff contenders, just strong finish. Both teams most likely are going to need this game. Then they host the Bengals. And the upside, this was the upside I was just mentioning. They play the Bengals Monday night. Night being the big word. At home. And as we know, Andy Dalton has a losing record playing primetime games at night. Not a break, because the Bengals most likely fighting for playoffs again. Tough game late. But, as I said, Bengals just suck at night. And then they end it with the Chargers, which could be, I'm trying to think, they could be for the division, playoff seeding. It could be a lot of implications, and I think it's a good end. It's a good end. These two teams definitely have been leading the charge, no pun intended, for the playoffs and division with the Chiefs. I won't leave the Chiefs out, but, you know, they've definitely been fighting for it over each other. And so overall, how Denver's schedule is, I can definitely say they got it rough. They got it rough. I mean, they play, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of 16 other games, those teams were in the playoffs. Then you got the Chiefs and Chargers. There goes another 4 games of 2 teams that just missed the playoffs. So that's 11. Pretty much their schedule is filled with winning records. Tough. From last season. We don't know what's going to happen this season, but last season. Denver, it's just how it's ordered. It's rough. They got it rough. So next, we're going to move on to who I believe came in second in the division. Could be wrong. Once again, it's one of these things that I just thought of now. I should have looked up before I got on here. But San Diego Chargers. And, yes. Okay. And, all right, so San Diego also gets to start their season at home against the Lions. And just like I was saying last for the Broncos, the Lions definitely are a transitioning team. And the Chargers, on the other hand, they just got new running back. A little bit of a, I wouldn't say media circus, but, you know, rumors were flying this offseason about trading Philip Rivers to move up to get Mariota and silly stuff like that. I don't think that will affect the locker room. But I think that the Chargers haven't changed much. They added more rather than kind of losing more. Because Matthews, Ryan Matthews, he's a good running back, but he always gets hurt. Last year I think he only missed like maybe 2 to 3 games, which isn't terrible. He might have missed 4, but maybe with I believe they got Gordon. He might be a steady back, 3 down back, if he doesn't get hurt, which could be big for them, and just lighten the load for Philip Rivers. And I think it would be – I just see the Chargers being the steady team coming in here and not transitioning much, just added more weapons, where the Lions are going to have to find a new identity losing soon. So I think it's a really good opener for the Chargers. But they're kind of – so that's good. The Lions were a playoff team last year, but like I said, transition. But then you got week, the next week, they go to Cincinnati to play the Bengals. Day game, rough. Cincinnati is rough at home during the day. So that's not the most prettiest thing to do. Then they go to Minnesota to play the Vikings. Once again, just don't know what the Vikings are going to be. We don't know the running back situation. I can't even say you don't know their receiver situation because Patterson did nothing last year. So they can be just, once again, a team kind of with no identity. They get to host the Browns for week four. Tough game, I think. I think the Browns will play them really tough. I really think the Browns are going to be a good team this year. They're going to either make the playoffs or miss it, like, late by, like, you know, circumstances as, like, say they needed help and they didn't get it, or they lost the last game and so-and-so won, so that team goes in and not them. I don't think they'll be bad unless Johnny Football just plain out sucks. If he sucks, you know, they might just be terrible. But outside of that, they host the Browns. Then they get to host the Steelers Monday night. And big game. Steelers are definitely a strong, they're going to be strong. They're going to be a playoff team. And just Steelers play on Monday night. They play football. So that's a tough one. Then would they go to Green Bay after they play the Browns and Steelers, then they play Green Bay. That's going to be tough. If Philip Rivers hasn't gotten used to his weapons yet, I can see the Packers kind of taking advantage of this game, possibly. So, kind of tough. Then they get to host the Raiders. You know, once again, three tough games in a row, according to last year. Like I said, we don't know what the Vikings are going to be. I hate to say it again. Probably last time I say this, but Raiders, no disrespect. But if you're playing like last year, it's going to be a break for the Chargers. It will be a break. Then they go to Baltimore to play the Ravens. Tough game. Very tough game. During the day, just the Ravens, man. They're good. And week nine is the week before they play, before their bye week, sorry, before they play. Let's say before they play their bye. But it's another Monday night game. It's pretty, they got two Monday night games so far. Pretty nice. And they host Chicago Bears. And don't know how they're going to be. Just going to leave it at that. But possible tough game before their, possible not tough game for their bye week. Week 10 bye week. And then they come out for a division game, which will be Sunday night. And that will be hosting the Chiefs, which is, I think that's good to come out, get a lot of rest, and then you get a night game against your division. I think that would be a good look for them. Then they travel to Jacksonville, which, if Jacksonville's young offense isn't explosive, might be a break, could be a break. Then they got to host the Broncos week 13. Then they travel to Arrowhead. Tough game. And, I just noticed this. The Chargers have five of their six. So five of their last seven games after their bye weeks a second half of the season, last seven games, five of those games are division games. I think that's a lot of pressure on them. A lot of pressure. And their non-division game is week 12, the Jaguars. I believe I just said they go to Arrowhead on week 14, rough. Last four games, three out of those four games are away. And they host the Dolphins, which I will say will be a tough team this year. So you got the Broncos, the Chiefs, the Dolphins, week 13, 14, 15. They got to go to the Black Hole, Oakland, to play the Raiders. Even though I've been disrespecting the Raiders, at home, week 16, Sunday night football, or Thursday night, short week. For their week 16 game, after playing the Dolphins at home, got to go north to play the Raiders on a short week. This could be tough because even if the Raiders say they are bad, they got to go to a black hole. Raiders have nothing to play for. Let's just say most likely scenario, the Chargers are going to have something to play for. Division rivalry, they're going to try to, like, ruin their life, you know? And then they have to go to Denver to end their season. I think that's a rough last 4 weeks, especially with the Dolphins game into the short week against the Raiders. It's rough. That's all I can say. Rough. But, you know, early on, they can start off very, very well. They can start off very, very well. So they have to start off strong and end strong. I mean, every team wants to do that. I mean, let's not kid that no team wants to start off strong and end strong. But they have the opportunity, because they start off strong, and if they have no momentum, they get, like, you know, week 10 break, get freshened up, and they have to come out hard for those last few games. So, we'll see. And then next would be Kansas City. All right. Let's see, Kansas. I'm just going to do a quick overview. And, man, these Western conferences here, they don't got it easy, man. You know, once again, they got rough, and so let's just start it, man. They have to open up. And by the way, the Kansas City Chiefs are the only team in the AFC West that's not opening their game openers not at home. They actually have to travel. And as we already broke down, the Broncos and the Chargers, they both open at home. And so do the Oakland Raiders. So the Chiefs are the only team in this division that actually has to travel week one. And they have to open up. And I think that the Texans are going to be pretty serious this year. I think last year was kind of a fluke. And I think this year, that D-line, if Clowney's full throttle with JJ, rough start. Super rough start, because they got to go to Texas. They go to the Texans. Then they have to go, they have to host the Broncos. Short week. I didn't see that when I was talking about the Broncos. on a short week. So they traveled and host on a short week. Terrible, terrible start to the season. I mean, oh man, like why? So first you got to go against J.J. Watts. First week of season, you get the fresh J.J. Watts. I mean, he's the freshest he's going to be all season. J.J. Watts, possible defensive MVP, possible MVP. Right off the bat, you got to play one of the best defenders in the NFL. Then you got to host Peyton Manning on a short week. That's just rough. Then they have, what's that going to be? I want to make sure I get this right. And am I going to get it right? Sorry, guys. Yep. Then after the short week, though, they get a little vacay because they have to travel to Green Bay for Monday Night Football on the 28th. So they play the Broncos on the 17th, then they travel to Green Bay on the 28th, Monday Night Football. So you get like a 10-day, layover. A lot of times you get prepared for the Packers, especially after you just played the Broncos. I mean, you're playing as two of the best QBs in the league back-to-back. And then, you know, their season starts off rough. So then they got to host Green Bay. Go to Green Bay. Sorry. Week four, they have to go to Cincinnati. Three of the four first games are all away. So then they play Cincinnati during the day in Cincinnati. Rough. Week five, they host the Bears. Might be nice to see the Bears after that first four-game start. Then they go to Minnesota. Once again, that's kind of a good back-to-back duo, possibly. Week seven, they host the Steelers. It's good that they get to host the Steelers. Even though it's early, it's October, it'll probably start getting cold in Pittsburgh. It's probably getting cold in Kansas City too, but at least weather might not play much of a factor at this time, which is good. And then they have the Lions at home on week eight, right before their bye. First four games were rough. The second set of four games are one team you could guess is going to be solid with the Steelers. And then three of those four teams are still, like, kind of finding themselves. And, you know, especially the Bears, week five. I know it's week five. They should have found themselves by then, but it's nice that still early in the season, they still might be trying to find themselves. And they go by week nine. And then, man, oh, man. Oof, man, it's last set. This last set is rough. They come out of their bye to play the Broncos in Denver. I mean, it's good you get a bye, but you got to go to Denver. Then, week 11, they got to go to San Diego to play Chargers. Just rough. At least they get to go home and play the Bills. Bills, I could say, are going to be tough. I think they're going to be a tough team. Find a way to screw it up. But otherwise, I could see the Bills being a tough team this year. They got to travel to Oakland, Black Hole, week 13. Kind of a break after those three good games. Then you got the host. Last three of their four games are all at home. That's a good thing. The Chargers, again, they play Chargers twice in 4 weeks. That'll be rough. Then they travel to the Ravens. Ravens late, man. That's definitely a rough game. And after the Ravens, they close out two home games in a row. They host the Browns, which I say I really think they're going to be a solid team. And this is just a rough. This is the thing. If the Chiefs can't really get their passing game going and the Browns can focus on the run, I really think that the Browns, on paper, match up very well against the Chiefs. So I think this, unless there's injuries that we could talk about at this time, at week 16 for the Cleveland and same thing for the Chiefs, I think it's going to be a tough game. I think both teams are going to need it. And that's definitely a good game late in the season. And then they end it with the Raiders home. Once again, though, this is a rivalry. This isn't just like, oh, you know, we're playing the Raiders. This is the Chiefs and the Raiders, franchises that are rivals. It's going to be a rough one. Once again, Raiders, even if they don't have nothing to play for, they're going to play this game like a playoff game. And kind of tough to end the season with your like true rival. So I think that would be a good game and a tough game for the Chiefs, especially if they need it late. They haven't clinched by this point. That's a rough game to end. And let's end it with the worst team in the division. And even though they're the worst team, obviously, with their schedule being who they are, this schedule is going to be tough. And it obviously does not even look like they try to make it easy for these guys. I mean, see, the other three teams, at least I said, oh, at least they get to play the Raiders. Yo, these guys, they don't got nobody they can say, oh, at least we can play them. Only team I can say that about is, oh, we get to play the Titans, who's the second worst team last year. And we were the fourth. Oh, my goodness, man. They come out the gate hosting the Bengals during the day. 1 p.m. West Pacific time, 4 o'clock Eastern time. So it's bright and sunny for Andy Dalton. Come out, play the Raiders, get his confidence up. I'm going to do this like this. We're going to play what's the record. So, opening week, 0-1. All right. Then we're going to go second week. They host the Ravens. Man, another AFC North team, another playoff team from last year, another strong team, only got better in the offseason. What's the Raiders' record? 0-2. All right, they have to go to Cleveland. Ah, Cleveland, I actually think they lost the Raiders last year. But I think Cleveland's defense has gotten better. Not too sure about the Raiders. And if I'm correct about the Browns losing, might have a little sore spot in them. 0-3. Going into week 4, they got to travel to the Windy City, Chicago Bears. And week 4 in Chicago, John Fox as the coach. Raiders. John Fox played the Raiders for 2-3 years in a row, maybe 4 years in a row. Kind of knows them. Let me go with 0-4. Chicago is going to win. Might even get their first win playing the Raiders if they haven't gotten it by now. And then they get to host the Broncos week 5 before going into their bye week after playing, let's say, 3 tough teams, an iffy team. Broncos, hot start. Peyton Manning's probably, like, increasing his stats to just so no one can try to catch him. Puts up 5 touchdowns on the Raiders. They're 0-5 going into week 6 bye. It's messed up. It's really messed up. Really messed up. Really messed up thing to say. But they come out week 5. They got to go to San Diego. Travel south. Not that far away. But still, it's the Chargers. And this is at San Diego. And this is in October. It's still nice. It's always nice in San Diego from what I hear. You know, they might come out in the baby blue because of the division game. And you know what happens if they come out in the baby blue division game? Let's just say that the Raiders are 0-6. But then week 8, kind of a break. They got the Jets at home. At home. Jets got to travel to the West Coast. Quarterback situation, still iffy in New York. Defense did kind of get stronger, but it's not Rex Ryan's defense. Yeah, they got another defensive guy, but Rex Ryan, as much as he was a Jets coach, you got to give him some kind of respect because his defense was serious. Every year he was in New York, that defense wasn't something you really played around with. But Rex Ryan is not there. Therefore, the Raiders can get their first win in week 8, and they will. So they will be 1-6 going into week 9 to go to Pittsburgh to go 1-7. Because I do not see them beating the Steelers, especially in November in Pittsburgh. It's going to be cold. It's the Steelers. I think Steelers are going to be strong this year. Le'Veon Bell is just going to just run all over the Raiders. All right. So week 10, they are, what I got them at, 1-7. They host the Vikings. Let's say Adrian Peterson is not at the Vikings. Okay? And let's say that they're still not getting that number one receiver going like they want to. You know, every game it's like a different receiver kind of stepping up. I'm going to say that the Raiders take the Vikings week 10. So they'll be 2-7 by week 10. That's what I'm going with. 2-7, week 10. Then they have to travel to Detroit. And let me see here. To Detroit, most likely the weekend before Thanksgiving. And I will say that they don't got an answer for Calvin Johnson, man. Lions, you know, I say that, you know, they got to find a new identity, but that's on defense. That offense, I think it's going to be a lot more potent than it was last year. So, therefore, you are now 2-9. Raiders, 2-9, week 11, get it together. But that's all right. That's all right. Week 12 could be your week. You go to Tennessee. I mean, they got Mariota. Rookie, week 12, most likely playing by now. Unless he comes in like Andrew Luck, I'm going to say that I do not believe in the Titans. And the Raiders, you get your third win, week 12. And you are now 3-7. No. 3-8. 3-8. Yes, 3-8. You're now 3-8, week 12. Good job, guys. Probably not going for fucking number one pick. But anyway. Then they host the Chiefs. Rival game. Division game. no matter how bad you are, kind of throw that out the window at this point, because this game has a lot more to it than just record. And I think it'll be a good game. If it's not a good game, the Chiefs will take it and move them to 3-9. Then they travel to Denver. I don't even need to explain anything. So it'll be 3-10, week 14. They host the Packers. I'm not going to explain anything again. 3-11, week 15. Host the Chargers. Host the Chargers. 3-11. Chargers flop on a short week. It's late week 16. They flop 4-11. The Raiders go. The Raiders are paying the Chargers side week 16, get their fourth win. And then they end it with the Chiefs at Arrowhead. Chiefs need this game to get in the playoffs. Raiders hate the Chiefs. They end the game, end the season 4-12, because they're not going to upset two division teams in a row. And I don't think Andy Reid's losing when he needs this game. So yeah. Yep. 4-12. Wow. Cite him on. Someone actually has the same prediction as me. It's 4-12. He didn't have all his picks. But let's go back. And then, let's see. I say that they get their first win against the Jets, second win against the Vikings, third win against the Titans, and last win week 16, fourth win against the Chargers. So they will start the season off 0-6 is my prediction. That's kind of messed up, man. But it's the NFL. You know, you enter that arena and you there to win or lose. And I'm sorry, Raiders, they have not. They ain't doing it. So yep. That's the AFC West breakdown. Fire alarm is not going off today, like last week. That was terrible. I couldn't end the show right. I actually ended it at this time with 10 minutes left, and I didn't like it. And I had to make you go through the last of the 49ers breakdown during the alarm, which was terrible. Sorry about that. But I got 10 minutes. I want to talk to Tom Brady. Tom Brady appeal. Number one, I understand why the league punished the Patriots as an organization, because it was their equipment manager, it was their ball boy that were part of the deflating of the footballs. But one thing I have to say is how come none of the referees who handled the ball every down, I guess you could say they're part of the league, you know, they're the league's employees. Why didn't any of them notice that the ball was deflated some? And then on the other side is, this game wasn't even close. It wasn't close. It wasn't like that the players were, like, catching magnificent one-handed catches in the back of the end zone. You know, it wasn't stuff like that. It wasn't like, oh, because their ball was deflated, that, you know, they, I don't know, just anything. Like, I just don't see the advantage they gained. I don't see how it, like, edged them over because of the total just blowout. It was a total blowout. The Colts couldn't move the ball. They couldn't run. They couldn't pass. They couldn't get open. it came down to the player's skills more than the football being flattened to make a difference in that game. So, I mean, it's the Patriots. I'm a Patriots fan, and I get it. It's if the balls were deflated, and everybody's saying they were, and I think they even tested them. And in the test, in the so-called Wells report, I guess they kept getting different readings, which isn't too good if you're not getting consistent, like saying like, oh, it was, I don't know, I didn't do it. I can't really say all that, but basically what I'm saying is, I just feel the football didn't change the course of that game. Like, no matter what, that game was going to be a blowout. If you played that game with a bowling ball, it was going to be a blowout. it was a blowout. Like, the Patriots were the better team. And even the Colts said it. They were like, dude, the footballs did not make the difference in that game. They flat out destroyed us. It was a one-sided affair. And so that's why I get keeping the integrity of the game. Like, hey, we caught you cheating. Even though you didn't need to cheat, caught you cheating. Yeah, you're going to lose some, you're going to get fined, and you're going to lose some picks. Cool, understandable. Now, on the other side is Tom Brady. You know, he didn't work with the investigation, but he did have a good point. If he already got the two, if the Wells report, the Wells guy, whatever his name is, if he got the phones from the ball boy and the manager, and he saw all the text messages that came in from Tom Brady already, why does he need Tom Brady's phone? You know, it's like saying, well, we want to see the messages between, you know, myself and my boss to make sure you guys weren't doing, I don't know, you know, something like that. Like, they want to get the message, and they got one person's phone, so they see all the messages. The message ain't going to change if they come on my phone, because all the messages went to them already. You saw all the messages. So why do they need Tom Brady's phone? I kind of understand. It's like, you know, where he comes from, where he's like, they already saw the message that I sent. Like, why do they need my phone? That's why I didn't give it to him. Makes sense. But on the other side, it's like, you should have just handed it over because you already know they knew. But I can kind of understand. It's like, I don't want you going through my phone. You know, it's like, you I don't know. It's, you know, phones are very personal nowadays. And in a two-way conversation like that, where just one side is enough to see everything, I don't know. I just don't feel going into, I don't know. But he did go against the investigation. And I think unless he can really convey in his appeal, like, how unnecessary it was for him to hand over his phone, that would be the cause for his penalty to be reduced. But on the other side is the Brady had general knowledge of what was going on. Like, what's general knowledge? It's either you have knowledge of what's going on, or you don't have knowledge of what's going on. You know, it's like saying, hey, man, we're going to go, like, for, let's say, I'm trying to think of something general, like a general term. Hey, man, I want he's like, hey, man, let's go to downtown Orlando. Now, if I hear that, generally, my general knowledge would be, oh, we must be going to drink. But say we went to go watch a movie. You know, it's like I had general knowledge of we were going downtown, but I thought we were going to drink. Like, you know, what's general knowledge? That's like the weakest term, and that's just like trying to point the finger at somebody to try to get them in trouble. I think that was just terrible, if you ask me. They try to link any general terms of a person to Brady, like anything that wasn't a name, was just like him or that guy, anything, they just considered Tom Brady. I mean, it really seems like the Wells Report tried to reach out and just try to nail Tom Brady to this, if you ask me. And I know a lot of people say, oh, you're just a Patriot fan, but, you know, like I said, I agree. You should have a penalty for interfering with the investigation. Now, like I said, if he can convey that he didn't need to hand over his phone and that Goodell and everybody else can understand where he's coming from and they can agree, like, okay. But if not, I think it should stand. It's, you know, it was pretty much kind of his responsibility to work with the investigation. He didn't. And I think as the NFL, you shouldn't try to protect your megastars just because they're megastars. Like, if they do something wrong, they should get the same penalty as pretty much anybody else. So, with that being said, those are my feelings on the whole Tom Brady and the Patriots thing. You know, like I said, the organization definitely, you know, I don't know if it came down, if the guys just did it on their own. But, you know, they're part of the organization. And I hate to do this, but it's like the police thing going on now. Like, you know, it's all, you know, police stations, police force, it's a whole organization, but those few rotten ones make the others look bad. And so even if this was these two guys doing it on their own, it still makes the Patriots look bad. And it's the organization, so they deserve to get fined because part of your organization, and, you know, that's how it rolls. And so, you know, everybody counts, even when people probably at the games. If, you know, the concession stand guy is rude, people be like, oh, it's Patriot Stadium, Patriot custodians suck. So everybody counts. You know, it's everybody counts. But with that being said, thank you, everybody, for listening to another Dune Radio schedule breakdown. Follow us on Dune Radio on Twitter. And follow us next week for the NFC North breakdown. Peace out, y'all. Have a good day. I'm out.